So the children's story today. So I don't really care if I get volunteers or not, because I'm going to make you all participate. So if you're able, please stand up. So the scriptures today is about Jesus going into the synagogue and he heals the person that's bent over. So you can tell where this is going. Everybody bend over. Okay. Some of you are bending more than others. I don't know if that's age or whatever. So how would you, now don't unbend. Nobody said anything about unbending. Okay. So if you were bent over all the time like that, how would you like that? And so how long do you think you could stay bent over like that? Okay, you can straighten up now, okay? And you may be seated. And so what the story about I'm going to talk about is, it's a woman who's been bent over, and it was a number of years, like 18 years if I remember, and she was bent over like that. And the doctors at the time weren't able to do anything about it. And you'd say, oh, well, that happened a long time ago. But in my story today, I'm going to tell you about a friend of mine that was bent over the last probably 5 or 6 years of his life like that. And so, but what happens, what this story is really about, is Jesus sees her and he says, you know what? That evil that's caused you to be bent over, I cure you of that. And she's able to stand up for the first time in her life. But one of the church leaders says, well, this is a Sabbath. Can't be doing that. That's work. And that's really what the message is going to be about. When is it okay to break what we're supposed to do the right thing? And so if you were that person bent over, and even in the few minutes you guys were, well, it wasn't even a minute, even in the 30 seconds that I made you guys be bent over, I'm guessing it wasn't very comfortable. You can't even imagine being like that your whole life. And if it could be changed just like that, you'd want it to be changed. So as we talk about the message today, think about that. Those changes that sometimes we get in the way of I'm going to call them procedures, get in the way of doing the right thing. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful and thankful that you teach us lessons that not only applied 2,000 years ago, but apply just as much today. Amen. So the scripture I'm going to use today is from Luke chapter 13, 10 through 17. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a disabling spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. And she glorified God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days in which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his donkey from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from the bond on the Sabbath day?" And as he said these things, all of his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at the glorious things that were done by him. So I called this message Mercy More Than Law. It's about following the rules as opposed to doing the right thing. Because sometimes people love rules. And I'm going to tell you a couple of stories about rules. So if you remember here, this is about the last time we read about Jesus being in the synagogue. This is probably like we've crossed the last line, he's having trouble with them, they want him out, and so this is the last time we read. And so Jesus heals this woman who's been over for 18 years. Now, I make notes up here to remind me what I'm going to tell you in case you guys haven't figured that out. There was a guy in the city we don't talk about. And his name was Max, and he worked at Ball State for a long time. Max was probably 6'3" or 6'4", pretty tall guy, and always pretty thin, good shape. But probably the last 5 years of his life, he was like this. And I never really knew what the problem was, But he was always bent over that much. And when I read this story, it makes me think of Max. And Max passed away several years ago. And so I don't know if that hurt him. But even if it didn't, everything he did was so hard. He wasn't able to drive anymore. I mean, he literally was that way all the time. And so I'm kind of practical sometimes. I think, how would you get dressed? And, you know, how would you set to eat? And just how did those things that we kind of take for granted, that we know we can do relatively easy, even in my old age, I know I can do relatively easy. And so how does that happen? I mean, how does that work? How much discomfort, pain, how much trouble did he have just doing normal things? Well, Jesus did this on the Sabbath, and in case you didn't know, you're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath, and they considered healing work. So no matter what happened, whether you were seriously injured, whether it was a minor injury, you were not supposed to do any healing, and you're not supposed to do anything. And the leader of the synagogue wants everybody to know how wrong Jesus was to do it. But I might point out to you, he does not go and talk to Jesus about it. He wants to tell everybody else. Everybody else in the synagogue that day, he's going to say, you know, what Jesus did with that woman was wrong. What Jesus did that day was wrong. It didn't matter that she was been over 18 years, because he could have done it the day before, the day after. What did one day matter, right? But he never said anything to Jesus. And so Jesus goes to the group and to him and says, yeah, I did heal her. But you know what you guys do? You, every Sabbath day, you take the livestock and you go water it and feed it, because they don't water and feed themselves. And so what you're saying is it's okay to feed and water the livestock, but it's not okay to take care of God's family. And he kind of shames them into not doing anything. Because not doing anything wasn't the right thing to do. The lady was in discomfort and pain and had been for a long time, and Jesus was able to fix her. Now, I want to talk about this work a little bit. So when we talk about healing on the Sabbath, we weren't really supposed to do anything that was work. And so when we were in Jerusalem, in the hotel we were in, it was 7 or 8 stories, and our guide said, don't get on elevator 4. And so somebody said, why not? And he said, well, all the Jewish families will be riding that elevator. So somebody said, is it going to be crowded? He goes, no, it's not that. It's switched so that nobody has to push a button to take it to their floor. It stops at every floor, because if you push the button, that would have been work. Okay? And so we knew not to get on that elevator. And there were like 6 to choose from. Because if you got on that one, and we were like on the 4th or 5th floor, I think, you were going to get to stop at every floor on the way. And so that tradition still carries on to some degree, just like the elevator example. And I talked about the animals. Sometimes I don't always do this in the same order, in case you've never noticed. But there are people that like procedures and systems more than they like doing the right thing. And so when I managed the Old National Bank in Yorktown, city we don't talk about, in Yorktown, not our very best day is going to be the story I'm going to tell you. I wasn't there that day, but it doesn't matter. It was my office. We should have done better. So if there was a fire in Selma today, how long would it take everybody in town to know whose house it was? Couple hours, same thing for Parker City, out in the country, okay? Same thing in Yorktown. When there's a fire in town, everybody knows whose house it was. And so did you know that if you have a fire at your house, and it's very substantial at all, your clothes are ruined until they get them clean because everything smells like smoke, okay? And there was a fire, it was a pretty big fire. House wasn't totally destroyed, but there was a lot of damage. And so insurance companies will issue the family a check the next day, almost all of them will, for some amount of money, because they know they're going to have to go out and get some clothes, probably going to have to stay someplace else. So it's just like to get them by until they can figure out what they're really doing. Now, if you didn't know that, you probably didn't know this. Banks don't like insurance checks. Okay? So our rule was that if somebody brought in an insurance check, that you put a hold on it for 10 days. Okay? Now that was the rule. But you always had the opportunity to do whatever you wanted to if the story made sense. And so I come in on Monday. I knew the house had a fire over, I think it was Friday. And so somebody in my staff says, hey, we had a problem here on Saturday. And I said, what's the problem? And they said, so-and-so came in, who we all knew, not our best client, but we all knew him. And he had an insurance check. And the person that was in charge that day didn't do, made him put a hold on it. I said, did he take the check with him and go someplace else? She said, yes. I said, good for him. I said, okay, well, let me talk to her and see what the deal was. So I brought her in and I said, okay, I know what's his name had a fire. I know he brought in an insurance check. And I said, how do we handle that? She said, well, I told him there'd have to be a 10-day hold. And I said, we know he doesn't have any money, right? She goes, yeah. And I said, so in thinking about that, did it make sense to you to put a hold on a check because you knew he had the fire? Uh-huh. And you knew he needed money to get clothes and stuff, right? Uh-huh. So did it make sense to you to put a hold on that check? She goes, well, that's what we're supposed to do. And I said, well, that is what we're supposed to do, but you know you can do other things if you think that it's appropriate. And you were here and you were in charge, and so do you really think that you handled that the best way you could? She goes, well, that's what the procedure says we're supposed to do. And I said, okay. I would tell you that I don't think that was a very good way to handle that. And if that would come up again, I would like for you to get a second opinion. Okay. So technically, according to the rules, she didn't do anything wrong. But was it the right thing to do? That's really what this story's about. In Jewish law, it was not appropriate to work on a Sabbath. But here's this lady that Jesus sees. She's all been over. She's been over for 18 years. It was appropriate to cure her because he was there that day and then, and he could do it. And so for us, what we have to be careful of is that we all, wherever we work or we do things, there are rules. Everybody has rules, okay? The question is, in a particular instance, does it make sense to follow the rules exactly, or do we have to give people some grace and love? And each situation's different, but that was my best example I could think of, technically following the rules, but being more wrong than you could possibly imagine. Because that guy didn't need her to say, I'm not going to give you the money for 10 days. He needed to say, here's the money. And we'd work out it out if there was a problem later. But we knew there was a fire. We knew he needed money. It seemed to be, to me anyway, that we should have given it to him. And so what this scripture is telling us is that the individual person or group or their needs sometimes, probably more often than not, need to come before whatever the rules are. Because that's the right thing to do. And sometimes the right thing to do is hard to figure out. When I volunteered at the run on the 4th of July, we had a guy, the race started at 10 till 8. He showed up at 8:15. We had packed everything away. And he said, well, I'm going to pick up my stuff. And I said, we're done. And he said, well, I'm only a little bit late. 25 minutes is not a little late. That part of the race has already started. Well, I just want my stuff. I go, no, we're done. He got so mad at me. Now, I felt bad because I should have just given him the stuff and sent him on his merry way, but I was tired. We'd been there since 6. I'd had all the fun with people that day I could stand. So part of it was I was tired. I was tired of people that day. Okay, do you ever have a day where you go, I'm tired of people today. I want you to all go away. That was where I was at. And so it might not have been my best day, but that was the best answer I had at the time. Now, I felt bad later, and I went and found him and said, hey, if you want your stuff, I can get it for you. He said, nope, I don't want it. I don't care anymore. Okay, now we're done. Because I felt bad. question here is, the guy in the church, leader of the synagogue, he didn't feel bad because he thought Jesus is wrong. It's clear. On this day, we never do any work. We don't do nothing. We're not supposed to help anybody or do anything. No work, nothing, period. It's a law. It's a rule. We're not going to do it. But we have to decide what's right and what's wrong. And so, for us, when we have these procedures and rules and the things that people come up to us, do we allow them to control everything we do and say, well, that's just the way it is? Or does our worship of God and our service to others come first? And so what do we decide? Are we going to say, well, no, that's the rule. We're not going to do anything else. Sorry, we can't help you. Or are we going to say, let me take a minute and think about it. What would God, used to be the bracelets would say, what would Jesus do? What would God lead me to do if I took a few minutes and asked for some guidance on this? Would I be led to say, nope, that's the rule and that's the way it's going to be today? Or would I want to offer the person some grace and do whatever it was God was leading me to do? And sometimes those things are hard. Because one thing is, so this is a me thing. There's probably other people like this in here. I kind of like rules, and I like people to follow them. And I get perturbed when people don't follow them. I was at a meeting the other day, and somebody was talking about me being a local pastor, and that they had to take the test to prove they weren't crazy. And I said, ha, that's nothing. I took it twice, and I passed it both times. But one of the things that came out in both of them is, I like things to be the way they're supposed to be. And I am surprised and shocked when people don't do the things they're supposed to do and bad things happen to them. Because to me, that's a consequence of what happened. If you don't do what you're supposed to do and there's a bad consequence, I don't know why you're surprised. That's something I have to work on all the time, constantly. That day at the race, I didn't do it very well because I should have just given the guy's junk and sent him on his merry way. It would have been easier. But that, nope, things have to be the way they have to be, came back up and it's in my ugly little mind again and said, nope, you're late. Too bad, hit the road. He wasn't a little late, by the way. He was like 45 minutes late. But it still didn't matter. I should have just given him the stuff and sent him on his merry way. And so for all of us, wherever you're at on the rules have to be the rules, or we're more flexible because everybody's a little different, just make sure you're doing what God wants you to do. And you don't get stuck doing what you want to do because you want to follow some rule or procedure. And so it becomes a question of, do you love the rules and procedures, which the guy in the synagogue clearly did, over what God could do that day through Jesus Christ and for others? Or are the rules, the procedures more important than everything else? The other thing is that the guy was right. Jesus could have healed her the day before, and he could have healed her when the Sabbath ended later that day. So he was right on both of those. But the other thing we learned in this was Jesus didn't want her to suffer 1 second more than what was necessary. He was there, she was there, it could be corrected. And so for us, do we say, well, you know, I can fix that, but you got to come back tomorrow. So I don't know how you guys feel about your doctor. I hate two things. I hate waiting in the lobby, which you don't do as much as you used to with COVID. But now you wait in the waiting room. Has anybody noticed that? They've moved us to the lobby, to the waiting room. We get to wait in a new place all by ourselves. Okay? And my doctor, every time they send me a survey and they ask me what I like and what I don't like, I always tell them, I hate to wait. Because I had an appointment. Apparently it was just a suggestion. Okay. Has anyone else noticed this? Happened to anybody else here? Okay. One or two or 20 or 30 of you noticed that. And it happens. And I always say, I just wish we got in when... Now, how many of you have called that same doctor's office and got in when you didn't have an appointment? Okay? When that happened, somebody got squeezed on their time, right? Okay? And so even though I know that aggravates me, at the same time I say I don't like to wait, I also put in there, I appreciate it that when I'm ill and not expected to come, that somehow they work me in. May not always be with him, but it'll be with one of the doctors in the practice. And so there's an offset there, right? If I want to be on time all the time, then maybe sometime I'm sick and I call that day, I don't get in. And so I kind of work those two offside. So I try not to get too perturbed when I've waited a really long time. Now, the problem with me, if they make me wait in that office very long and I don't feel very well, I'm going to take a nap. Okay? Chair's not real comfortable, but if you get it just right away from the wall, lean back just right, close your eyes, you can do a little nap. And my doctor's kind enough, he always knocks first to make sure I'm awake before he comes in. Okay? But for us, we shouldn't have to wait. That's what Jesus is telling them. Yeah, you could have waited, but I am with you today in this instant. And so no matter where we're at, what place we're in, whether we're in a church, we're at home, wherever, he is with us all the time. And it may not be a physical ailment. It may be something that we are struggling with mentally, internally, that we need to hear his voice. And so when you were talking about taking time to listen to the noise of God, sometimes we need to take time to listen to the voice of God because we get so busy doing stuff, we don't do that. So that's what I'd like for you to do. Think about those times when you can do the right thing, even though maybe it's not the thing you're supposed to do. I'm not trying to get anybody fired here or anything, but no matter where you work, those things happen because there's a rule. Okay. But somebody there has the ability to overdo that. And the question is, are you willing to go to whoever it is to make that happen? The good thing about with Jesus is you're at the top of the rung, you're ready to go. And he is available to us all the time, anytime, any place, everywhere. Amen? Amen? Let us pray. Father, as we go out into your world, let us be open to your guidance and direction to know when we should offer grace to someone who may not be following the procedures and the rules and directions that most people do, but guide us and direct us in the way that we should offer them your grace and your love. Amen.